2 hours after the strange meeting, Wayne puttered through Wax's mansion, peeking behind pictures, lifting up vases. Where did he keep the good stuff?
It is her, Asteris. And that man with his back turned, holding her by the arm, that could be my uncle. They're involved in this. I have to go.
Wax was in the ground floor sitting room, not far away. It had always seemed funny to Wayne how rich folk got to decide what was valuable. He inspected a picture frame that was likely pure gold. Why did anyone care about this shiny stuff? Gold could do some fun things with ferrochemie, but it was pure rubbish when it came to allomancy. Well, rich folk liked it. So they paid a lot for it, and that made it valuable. No other reason. How did they decide what was valuable? Did they all just gather together, sit around in their suits and gowns, and say,
"Oi, let's start eating fish eggs and make this stuff real expensive. That'll rust their brains, it will." Then they'd have a nice round of rich folks' laughter and throw some servants off the top of a building to see what kind of splats they'd make when they hit.
Wayne put the picture back. He refused to play by rich people's rules. He'd decide for himself what something was worth. And that frame was ugly. Didn't help that Steris's cousins, who were depicted in the Ivanotype it held, looked like fish.
Then you should most certainly go, Lord Waxillium. Why the concern? We can make arrangements to postpone other duties.
It's infuriating, Steris. Not a word of apology from them or Harmony regarding what they did to me? Vendel made offhanded comments, referring to me shooting Lessie as a stunt. They used me. Lessie was only trying, in a broken way, to free me from them. Now they saunter back, no mention of what I lost, and expect me to just pick up and do their bidding again?
Poor Wax. That had busted him up right good. And Wayne could see why. Still, an apology? Did people what got killed in a flood expect an apology from God? God did as God wished. You simply hoped to not get on his worst side. Kinda like the bouncer at the club with the pretty sister. Harmony wasn't the only god anyway, and that was what Wayne was about today.
I have to go. Even after what they did, if my uncle is really involved in this, if I can free Telson, I have to go. Tomorrow night, there will be a gathering of the outer city's political elite in New Saren. Governor Aradel is rightly concerned and was going to send a representative anyway. It gives me a plausible excuse to be in the city. Marisi can look for the lost spike. I can hunt down my uncle.
It is decided then. Will we be leaving immediately?
We?
I assumed. I mean, if you are taking my sister, it would look very odd if I were not accompanying you. I don't mean to be presumptuous. You may, of course, do as you wish, but...
No. You're right. It would look odd to go alone. The gathering will include a reception, after all. I don't want to imply... I mean...
I can go, but stay out of your way.
It could be dangerous. I can't ask it of you.
If this is what you feel you must do, then I will be happy to take the risk.
I...
Rusts. Those two were as awkward as a man suddenly splitting his cheeks in church. Wayne shook his head, picking up one of the vases in the entryway. Good pottery, with a nice swirly-dirly pattern. Maybe that would do for his offering. Wayne put the vase back. It didn't feel right. He took one of the flowers, though, and traded it for an extra sock from his back pocket. Huh. He had a silverware set in his other pocket. From the wedding breakfast? Yeah, that was right. They'd put out a place setting for him, had his name and everything. That meant the silverware had been his. He put the fork, knife, and spoon back in his pocket and tucked the flower behind his ear, then walked to the door, reaching it right before that butler did. He gave the man a glare. It was only a matter of time before he cracked and tried to kill them all, then pulled open the door. That Condra bloke stood on the other side. His suit now was an even lighter shade of tan.
You? We just got rid of you.
Good afternoon, young lad. Are the adults home?
Darien's quickly pushed Wayne aside and gestured for Vendel to enter. The butler pointed toward the sitting room.
Thank you.
Wayne caught up with the Condra quickly.
Nice flower. Can I have your skeleton when you're dead?
My...
You're a bloodmaker, correct? Can heal yourself. Bloodmaker bones tend to be particularly interesting, as your time spent weak and sickly creates oddities in your joints and bones that can be quite distinctive. I'd love to have your skeleton, if you don't mind.
Taken aback by this request, Wayne stopped in place. Then he ran past him, pushing into the room where Wax and Steris were talking.
Wax, The immortal bloke is being creepy again.
Greetings, Lord Ladrian.
Fendel walked in, holding up a folder.
Your tickets, along with transcripts of everything we've been able to pry out of Valour. I warn you, most of it isn't terribly lucid.
Wayne glanced at Wax's liquor cabinet. Maybe something in there would work for what he needed for his offering.
I haven't said that I'd go. You're roping me into this, sure as sheep in a pen.
Yes.
The immortal held out the folder again.
In here is a list of people Relure mentions. You'll find it interesting that he lists several, including the woman holding the party I'm sending you to, as having had interactions with your uncle.
Wax accepted it. He gestured to Steris, who had risen to curtsy.
My fiancé. We were debating whether she should accompany me or not.
We have made provisions for whatever you decide. Though it will look less suspicious if you go too, Lady Harms, I cannot guarantee your safety.
It might be helpful if you accompanied us, Fendel. We could use an extra Metalborn.
Vendel's eyes bulged, and he turned white.
Go out into the field? Me? Lord Ladrian, I assure you that's not what you want.
Why not? You're practically impossible to kill, and you can change your rusting shape into anything you want.
Wait!
Wayne turned away from the liquor cabinet.
You can turn into anything? Like a bunny?
Very small animals are extremely difficult, as we need a certain mass to hold our cognitive functions and—
Bunny! Can you be a bunny?
If absolutely necessary.
So that's what that damn book was about.
Vendel looked toward Wax.
Melan can perform any transformations you might need. I honor the first contract, Lord Ladrian. Besides, the outside doesn't suit me. There's too much...
Too much what?
Everything.
Wayne shook his head, trying the liquor cabinet. It was locked, unfortunately. What a fine heap of trust Wax showed in him.
My sister will meet you at the station. Track 17 in 4 hours.
4 hours? I need to send for the maids, and the valet, and—
Steris raised a hand to her head, looking faint.
And I need to make a list.
We'll be there, Vendel.
Excellent.
The Kundra fished in his pocket. Wayne got interested until he came out with a dull old bent earring. Simple, old style.
I brought you one of these.
No thanks.
But if you need to—
No thanks.
The look between the two of them grew really uncomfortable, like each was accusing the other of having made an unpersonable stench of some sort.
Good, good.
Wayne drifted toward the door.
Meet you all at the station.
Aren't you going to pack?
Sack's in my room, under my bed. I'm always packed and ready to go, mate. Never can tell when a misunderstanding will crop up.
He turned away, popped his hat off the rack, flipped it onto his head, and ducked out the front door. Leave them to their discussing and their arguing and their creepy, immortal bunnies. He had things that needed to be done. Well, one thing at least. Wayne had a quest. He strolled down the street, but found himself less and less pleased with his flower. It was not the proper offering for the god with whom he must meet. Too obvious, too soft. He spun it in his fingers, thoughtful. No better ideas came to him. This area was too fancy with mansions and gardens and men clipping hedges. The streets didn't even stink of horse dung. It was hard to think in a place like this. Everyone knew the best thinking happened in alleyways and slums. Places where the brain had to be alert, even panicked. Where the bugger knew that if it didn't perk up and get some geniusing done, you were likely to get yourself stabbed. And then where would it be? Holding your brain hostage against your own stupidity. That was how to get stuff done. Wayne made his way to a nearby canal and searched out a gondola man who looked bored.
You, boatman! Hey! Oh, do hurry! I haven't the time!
The boatman pulled over.
Quickly now, quickly, my good man. Tell me, how much for the day?
The day?
Yes, yes.
Wayne hopped into the boat.
I have need of your services for the entire day.
He quickly settled himself.
Onward now, up the 4th-5th canal, turn right around the hub, then east up the Iron Gate. First stop is in the 3rd octant. She's counting on me, you know.
The whole day? Yes, sir. My lord?
Ladrian. Waxillium Ladrian. We aren't moving. Why aren't we moving?
The boatman began poling, so gleeful at the prospect of many hours of employment that he forgot to ask for any money up front.
50.
Hmm?
For the whole day.
Yes, 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 fine.
If you don't mind me asking, my lord, and I mean no offence, but your clothing...
Yes?
Wayne straightened his rough's coat.
Is something wrong with it?
Wrong with it? Wrong with it? Man, do you not follow fashion? Phantom Delacour himself designed these clothes. Northern Outlands inspiration. It's the height, I tell you. The height! A coin shot couldn't get higher.
Sorry. Sorry, my lord. I said I didn't want to offend.
You can't just say, don't be offended, and then say something offensive, man. That's not how it works.
Wayne settled back, arms folded. The boatman, wisely, said nothing more to him. After about 10 minutes of travel, the time had arrived.
Now, we'll need to stop at Glimmering Point Docks and then a skid along Stanzel Belt.
My lord?
Hmm? Oh, just going over my errands. My nephew is getting married. You might have heard of the wedding. It's all the talk of the city. So many errands. Yes, indeed. The day will be quite the skid.
You said the Stanzel Belt? Not a nice area, that.
Need to hire some workers.
My lord, I just realized, gotta get back. Can't be hired for the whole day. My mother, she'll need me.
What nonsense is this? I haven't the time for your prattle, man. And catching another boat will waste my precious time. I'll double your fee.
Sorry, my lord.
The man pulled the boat to the side of the canal.
Very sorry, can't do it.
At least take me to Stanzel.
Nope, can't do it, gotta go.
Well...
Wayne climbed out onto the dock.
I've never been treated in such a manner, and we're not even halfway down Portway.
Sorry, my lord.
The man pulled away as quickly as he could.
Sorry.
Wayne cocked his hat, grinned, and checked the sign hanging from the street lamp. Exactly where he'd wanted to go, and not a clip paid. He started strolling along the canal, keeping an eye out for a better offering. What would the god want?
Maybe that?
He eyed a line of people waiting at Old Dent's roadside cart, wanting to buy some of his fried potatoes. Seemed a good bet. Wayne wandered over.
Need some help, Dent?
The old man looked up and wiped his brow.
5 clips a small pouch, 8 for a large, Wayne. And don't eat none of the stock or I'll fry your fingers.
Wayne grinned, slipping behind the cart as the man turned back to his brazier and stirred a batch that was frying. Wayne took the customer's money and didn't eat much of the stock until the last man in line arrived, a fancy-looking fellow in a doorman's jacket. Probably worked at one of the hotels down the lane. Good tips at those jobs.
3 large.
Wayne got his potatoes, took the man's money, then hesitated.
Actually...
Wayne held up a note.
Do you have change? We got too many large bills.
I suppose.
Great. Here's a 20.
I've got 2 5s and 10 1s.
The man put them down.
Thanks.
Wayne took them, then hesitated.
Actually, I've got plenty of ones. Could I get that 10 I saw in your wallet?
Fine.
Wayne gave him a handful of coins and took the 10.
Hey, there are only 7 here.
Whoops.
What are you doing, Wayne? There's more change in the box under there.
Really? Rusts. Okay, how about you just give me my 20 back?
He counted the man back 13 and poured the coins and bills into his hand. The man gave Wayne the 20.
Can I just get some sauce for my chips?
Sure, sure.
Wayne squeezed some sauce onto the pouches beside the potatoes.
Well, that's a nice wallet. What do you want for it?
The man hesitated, looking at his wallet.
I'll give you this.
Wayne plucked the flower off his ear and held it out with a banknote worth 10. The man shrugged and handed over the empty wallet, taking the bill and stuffing it in his pocket. He threw the flower away.
Idiot.
The man marched off with his potatoes.
Did you shortchange that man, Wayne?
What's that?
You got him to give you 50 and you gave him back 40.
Wayne stuffed the wallet in his back pocket.
You know I can't count that high, Dent. Besides, gave him an extra 10 at the end.
For his wallet?
The flower was for the wallet. The bill was because I somehow ended up with an extra 10 completely on accident, very innocent-like.
He smiled, helped himself to a pouch of chips, and went wandering off. That wallet was nice. His god would like that. Everyone needed wallets, right? He got it out and opened and closed it repeatedly, until he noticed that one side was worn. Rusts. He'd been cheated. This wouldn't work at all for an offering. He shook his head, walking along the canal promenade. A pair of urchins sat on one side, hands out for coins. Wayne was near the breakouts, a nice slum, and he caught whiffs of their distinctive odor. Fortunately, the aroma wafting from a nearby bakery overwhelmed most of it. He settled down on his haunches next to one of the urchins, a girl not seven.
Here's the thing. I ain't travailed enough.
Sir?
In the old stories of quests, you gotta travail. That's like traveling, but with an ailment stapled on. Headaches and the like, maybe a sore backside too.
Can I have a coin, sir?
I ain't got no coins. Damn. In the stories, they always tip the urchins, don't they? Let you know they're the heroes and such. Hold here for a sec.
He stood up and burst into the bakery, real heroic-like. A woman behind the counter was just pulling a rack of meat buns out of the oven. Wayne put his fork down onto the plain wooden countertop, leaving it flourished there like a rusting legendary sword.
How many buns will you give me for this?
The baker frowned, looking at him, then taking the fork. She turned it over in her fingers.
Mister, this is silver.
Mm-hmm. So, how many?
A bunch.
A bunch will do, fair merchant.
A moment later, he emerged from the bakery holding three large paper sacks filled with a dozen buns each. He dropped a handful of change the baker had insisted on giving him into the urchin's hands, then held up a finger as their jaws dropped.
You must earn this.
Ow, sir.
Take these.
He dropped the sacks.
Go give this stuff inside away.
To who?
Anyone who needs them. But see here now. Don't eat more than four yourselves, all right?
Four? All for me?
Well, five, but you bargain hard, little cheat.
Wayne smiled, then kicked himself in a smooth skid along the edge of the canal, which was slippery with a coating of slime. He managed to go a good 10 feet before losing his balance and slipping, which, of course, plunged him right into the canal. He pulled himself up onto the side. Well, maybe this would count as a travail. If not, it was probably poetry, considering what he'd done to Wax this morning. He fished out his hat, then put his back to the canal. That was the way to go. Eyes forward, back turned toward the past. No sense getting your nose stuck in things that don't matter anymore. He continued on his way, trailing water and spinning the last of the silverware, the knife, in his fingers. This was not the right offering for his quest. He was pretty sure of it. But what was? He stopped at the next canal bridge, then stepped back. A short man in a uniform he didn't recognize was walking down a nearby street with a little book in hand. Motor cars were parked here in various positions, most partly up onto the sidewalks. The man in the uniform stopped at each one, writing something down in his book. Wayne followed after him.
Here now, what are you doing?
The little man in the uniform glanced at him, then back at his notebook.
New city ordinance about the parking of motor cars requires them to be left in an orderly manner, not up on the sidewalks like this.
So?
So I'm writing down the registry numbers of each one, and we'll track down the owners and charge them a fine.
That's evil.
Nonsense. It's the law.
Huh. So you're a conner?
Fine enforcement officer. Spent most of my time inspecting kitchens before last month. This is a lot more productive, I'll tell you. It really...
That's great. What do you want for the book?
It's not for trade.
I've got this here nice wallet. Recently cleaned.
Move along, sir. I am not to be...
How about this?
Wayne yanked out the knife. The man jumped back in alarm, dropping his notebook. Wayne snatched it, dropping the knife.
Great trade. Thanks. Bye.
Hey!
The man chased after him.
Hey!
No trade backs!
Come back here!
Wayne dashed out onto the main street along the canal, passing a couple of old men sitting on a tenement steps near the entrance to the slums. Wayne held his hat to his head and ran all out. The conner was a determined one, following Wayne a good 10 streets before slowing, then stopping, hands on his knees. Wayne grinned and ducked around one last corner before putting his back against the bricks of a building beside a window.
He'll probably file a report. Hope the fine they make Wax pay ain't too large.
He ought to find something to bring back as an apology. Maybe Wax needed a wallet.
No loitering!
Wayne turned to see a woman with spectacles leaning out the window to look at him. She was holding a pen, and just inside the window, a half-finished letter lay on the desk in front of her.
Perfect.
Wayne tipped his hat, snatching the pen from her hand.
Hey!
Thanks!
He opened the notebook and scribbled some words. He tossed the pen back to her, then continued on his way. The final destination, the god's dwelling, was not far now. He veered down a lined street with trees and quaint smaller townhomes. He counted them off, then turned to the right and stood facing it. The god's new temple. She'd moved here a few months ago. He crept carefully up the long walk to the front door. There, he tucked the book into the spot between the doorknob and the door. He didn't dare knock. Renette was a jealous god, known for shooting people. For her, it was practically a governmental mandate. If the constables didn't find a few corpses on her doorstep every week, they'd start to wonder if she wasn't feeling well. Wayne slipped away. He smiled, imagining Renette's reaction when she opened the door. And he was so distracted that he almost ran right into Renette herself, walking up the path to her house.
Wayne, what were you doing at my door?
Idiot.
She shoved past him.
You'd better not have broken in. Tell Wax I delivered those cords to him just now. He needn't have sent someone to check on me.
Cords?
I swear I'm going to shoot you, you little maggot.
He watched her go, smiled to himself, then turned and continued walking away.
What's this? Wayne? I'll shoot you right now. I swear I will. Tell me what you've done.
He turned around.
It's just a gift, Renette.
A notebook?
He shoved his hands into his trouser pockets and shrugged.
Writing book. You're always writing stuff down, thinking about things. Figured if there's one thing you could always use more of, it's a writing book. All those ideas you have must get pretty crowded up there. Makes sense, you need places to store them.
Why is it damp?
Sorry, forgot and stuck it in my pocket for a moment, but I got it right back out. I fought 10 constables for that, I'll have you know.
She flipped through it, eyes narrowed in suspicion until she reached the last page.
What's this?
She held it up close and read the words he'd scrawled on the back page.
Thank you and goodbye? What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong. I just figured it was time.
You're leaving?
For a little, but that's not what the words mean. I'm sure we'll see each other again. Perhaps frequently and such I'll see you. But I won't be seeing you again. See?
She looked at him for a long moment, then seemed to relax.
You mean it?
Yeah.
Finally.
Gotta grow up sometime, right? I've found that, well, a man wanting something don't make it true, you know?
Renette smiled. Seemed an awful long time since he'd seen her do that. She walked to him, and he didn't even flinch when she extended her hand. He was proud of that. He took her hand, and she raised his, then kissed it on the back.
Thank you, Wayne.
He smiled, let go, and turned to leave. One step into it, though, he hesitated, then shifted his weight to his other foot and leaned toward her again.
Maracy says you're courting another girl.
I am.
Now, I don't want to go wrong, seeing as I'm being so gentlemanly and grown up and the like, but you can't blame a man for getting ideas when hearing something such as that. So, I don't suppose that there's a chance for the three of us to...
Wayne.
I don't mind none if she's fat, Renette. I likes a girl what has something to hold on to.
Wayne.
He looked back at her, noting the storm in her expression.
Right. Okay, yeah. I don't suppose when we're looking fondly on this conversationalizing and our memorable farewell, we could both just forget I said that last part?
I'll do my best.
Half an hour later, Wayne made it to the rail station and strolled in through the open doors. He shoved his hands in his pockets and looked about until he found Wax, Maracy, and Steris standing amid a small hill of suitcases, with servants waiting at the ready to carry them.
Finally! Wayne, our train is nearly boarding. Where have you been?
Making an offering to a beautiful god.
Wayne looked up toward the building's high ceiling.
Why do you suppose they made this place so big? Ain't like the trains ever coming here, eh?
Wayne, are you drunk?
Oh, of course not. Why? Why'd I be drunk at this hour?
You're insufferable. I can't believe you risked being late for a little liquor.
Wasn't a little.